the clock has started.
Welcome to That Pixel Life. This is episode 132, recording March 21st, 2021. My name is Zach Anderson, and this week we are discussing the Video Game Hall of Fame, whatever the hell that is, game delays, Snyder Cuts, Winter Soldiers, maybe an Xbox Indie Game Showcase, so if we can fit the way in there. And to do that, I have with me, as always, Mr. Shannon Falling Down the Over the Hill Moore.
Hello. Hello. How is everybody doing?
How are the new tennis balls on the walker, Shannon?
Back in my day, you had to blow on your cartridge when it didn't work right. And if you were an asthmatic, you just didn't play video games.
Very nice. Very nice, sir. Thank you.
That's all I'm saying.
Old man yells at cloud. Yes. So how was the 41st birthday, sir?
It was chill. You know, I finally was able to open my PlayStation 5 and, you know, set it up and play it. And, everything was, you know, since COVID is still a thing, that we're dealing with, everything was still pretty much like a small, birthday, a video game birthday. So basically everything was, you know, playing video games, whether it be Call of Duty or Astro, was Astrobot's Playroom, like whatever it was, like video game related, I played it like pretty much all week. So I had some, I got to relive my youthful days. It was good.
Nice. Mm-hmm. You have a birthday buddy now though, because my wife's sister had her first child on St. Patrick's Day as well.
So. I'm no longer special.
You've got a friend.
So it's good to have a birthday on St. Patrick's Day. You never party alone.
It's true.
You also never remember your birthday.
Well, after a certain age, anyway.
But yeah, I would say from 20 to 30, I couldn't tell you.
You know, you got older. Yeah. That's about it. Yeah,
I felt older.
Yeah, totally, right? But Shannon, the birthday boy, is not the only one on the call this week. We also have Mr. Justin, where the hell did my stimulus check go, Carter?
I'll tell you where it went. Right here.
For those that cannot see, Justin is holding up a box of Magic cards.
Yeah, not just any Magic cards. Time Spiral Remastered came out on Friday. Mm-hmm. And supply and demand is very scarce, it looks like, on this. But yes, Time Spiral Remastered came out on Friday. And if you'd pre-ordered a box, I think probably about not the week that it came out, you probably could have got it for about $200. Whereas now you try to buy a box online, you're looking at about $260 and stuff on Amazon and stuff to try and get a box. I paid like $240 for a box, which wasn't that bad in comparison to what other places were selling them for.
So you got the full stimmy, right?
Yeah.
So what'd you do with the other $1,200?
Well, so that's assuming I just bought that at the card shop, which you would be mistaken. Because your boy also got, boom, Digimon cards. Finally found them. I've been hunting many a card shops trying to get them, because pretty much as soon as any place gets them, if they do carry them, they sell out. And
yes, the tens of fans. Or mobbing the stores.
The one box that they get.
Yes. So I was on Friday, the day that time came out, I was on Facebook on the For Me Mantle Works. I was checking them out to see if they had boxes of Time Spiral and how much they were going for. And I was scrolling down their Facebook page, and there was like a post from like 5 days ago that said that they had Digimon cards. And I was like, dude. So I called them and I was like, do you guys still have Digimon cards? And they said that they didn't have any boosters, but they had the three starter decks. and I was in the middle of work, and I was like, well, and I put my shoes on. I was like, I'll be in like 10 minutes. And left work, drove down the street, and yeah, dropped $370 at the card shop on Digimon and Magic cards.
Wow.
I mean, but the other $1,000 I put in savings, and I said from the get-go, out of the $1,400, $1,000 was going in savings, and the other $400 was going to the card shop, and I was not wrong.
Well, I mean, at least you knew. At least it didn't come as a surprise to anyone.
Yeah, nobody was surprised by it. And
it's not like you went into the card shop going like, oh, I'm going to get like $20 worth of boosters, and you walk out spending $400.
Yeah,
you
know? They like upsell me now. Yeah, it was one thing. Like, Megan knew already. She already bought a couple $100 worth of makeup, so it's like she can't say shit about it. So.
You're like, the die has been cast.
Exactly. I was like, yes, good. Wizards of the Coast is like, come to daddy.
That's funny. So it was a great week for me with kids baseball. Both kids started up their baseball adventures, so that's fun. It's got some great pictures, but it's not quality baseball if you're looking to, you know, actually watch the sport.
No. I mean, you're not betting with other dads in the bleachers.
I was trying to set a line of you know, plus 180 on my daughter's team, but no one was taking it. So no, it is hilarious how, especially at that age, it's totally just complete chaos. It's like a kid hits one off the tee and the other nine kids that are in the field, just regardless of position, swarm to where the ball is. You know, it's just like
everyone's picking grass until they hear connect, and then they just start running around in circles everywhere.
And it's just like this like 4-year-old zombie horde all running to the ball at once, you know. And then it's like the game is who can grab it. Like, that's like a kid will grab the ball and it's like, hey, I won. I got the ball. And it's like, that's okay. That's not the game. But good job. Good job getting the ball. Yeah. So
and the kid just runs, grabs second base, picks it up, and then just starts booking it towards the parking lot with second base.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, if you go into these assuming children know like the base paths and the bases and what to do when a ball is hit, you are grossly mistaken. I don't care how much baseball they have actually watched in their lives. Every kid is just like, what? Second base? What? Why would I run there? I'm just going to go the third. I'm just going to run across the diamond. Like, why would I go to second? Like, yeah, it's hilarious. And my son is like right at the age where it's still cute. Like, it's still adorable, but they're old enough where you're starting to be like, bro, you know, you can make that throw. What are you doing? Like, you know, like, it's like, okay, it was fun how he dove for that. But at the same time, like, make the throw. The play is right there. Throw it a second. What is wrong with you? And it's like, you have to like rein it in because it's like, okay, they're little kids. No, they don't know what the hell they're doing. And no, they're not actually messing up on purpose most of the time. They literally just don't know what they're doing. And so it's a little difficult sometimes watching it because it's like, okay, you're old enough. You should know what this is.
My son is currently in the ask me the same question 3 times in a row, even if I've given him the answer. So I could see how that would be very frustrating in that sense, where like he hits the ball and you're like, okay, run the first. And he's like, I run the first now, daddy. And you'd be like, yes, run to first. I run the first now, daddy. Yes, please just run to first. Oh, I run to first now, daddy.
You've been out for 5 minutes.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. Oh, we should probably talk about like the other big change, which is our, you know, new intro.
Yes, I was going to mention that. So
nice. It
dropped a little too late for us to get it in, it at least announced into last week's show, but Shannon was able to work it into the show, and we've gotten a lot of great feedback on it. So, Shannon, do you want to throw some props out there?
Yeah. Melanie Derringer, she is the one that put that all together for us. She's been working on it for about, I would say, a week or two, you know, sending me some abstract ideas and then putting it together. You know, I told her about, you know, how our show has evolved over the past 2 or 3 years that we've been doing this, and, you know, how we've gone from more of a video game platform to all things pixel related. So, you know, that was the end result. And when I heard it, I was totally blown away. And I thought that was awesome. A, that we've hit that level where people want to, you know, make new theme songs for us or intros. And, you know, I think it breathed or it put a breath of fresh air back into the intro. So it gives us a little extra energy, you know, as you could tell from Zach's awesome high tempo intro. Melanie, thank you very much. Justin, you know, he's a huge contributor. He's also, you know, I always do this too. It's Justin and it's Jordan.
I was like,
Jordan's over there, man, in the Facebook, you know, and then, you know, Melanie's over there doing her thing. So, big ups to those two people. You know, without them, our show would still be the normal as it's been. So yeah, we're evolving. We're like Pokemon. We're evolving into a new creature. And Zach, you're fine. You're Michael.
My favorite part of the show has become when Shannon says Justin and me and Justin look at each other just like through Skype, like
you guys don't even do it anymore. You just deadpan it until like it's like way past there. Like I caught it this time though, so you guys can't get it.
You know, Jordan, if and when you come back on the show again, I give you full permission to fuck Shannon's name up. Like,
no,
you've earned that.
I am going to have him back on the show because, you know, I think, you know, when the doldrums of, you know, like between April and like, you know, October, when that kind of hits and we have a lull and we go back into doing our movie reviews, Jordan has actually wanted to do the Resident Evil series and rate them from like worst to atrocious.
I don't want to rewatch those movies.
Well, if you've seen them all, you don't have to rewatch them.
I mean, I've seen most of them and I don't remember them kind of on purpose, but well, speaking of the doldrums, we could be in for a long year of doldrums because it got announced this week that Gotham Knights is being delayed into 2022 for multiple reasons, not least of which is COVID related, following games like Hogwarts Legacy that also got pushed out of 2021. And I think it's just the beginning, man. I think you're going to see this more and more throughout the year. Like I'm so not looking forward to like no games coming out this year. I think everyone was scared of last year being the release drought that was going to happen due to the pandemic and whatnot. I think the bill has come due this year. I think this is where you're going to see, because last year anything that was coming out was pretty much done, you know, like it was most of the way there. This stuff, it's like a full year of delayed production and delayed meetings and delays. And now it's all coming out, you know? And I think that, I hope I'm wrong, but I bet you that you're going to see a ton more of these, especially as it gets closer to E3. You're going to get the announcement of like, hey, yeah, remember Horizon? Yeah, that ain't coming out this year. Hey, remember this game? Yeah, that's going to be in 2022. You know, like it's just going to be one of those one after another. And I hope I'm wrong, but it just kind of feels like it's coming.
I mean, I'm not surprised, but I mean, it's luckily it's not a game that I really was amped to play. I mean, I'm glad that they're like you guys were like, you know, all aboard that hype train, and it sucks for you guys, and I'm sorry, but you know, at the same time, you know, they're still attempting to put out a high quality game for you. You know, so I think as long as the end result gives you a game that you're happy to play, I am all for it, especially with, you know, COVID decimating video game industry, decimating the video game industry the way that it did. But yeah, I mean, there's still some small, I mean, this is the year for small indie firms to like really shine, right? Like, you got these small developers put out a game that's a banger, and like, you are going to get a lot of people buying your game. It's because those top dogs aren't putting anything out right now. So, you know, Justin, maybe this is the year that, you know, you get your game out and
negative space takes over the world.
Yeah.
You could be the savior of the video game industry. You could be the opposite of what E.T. was for the game industry.
Well, you know, since Justin used his pandemic time to really make and polish up Negative Space.
To really take and polish up those magic cards. I mean, Negative Space.
Yeah. I was like, we're pretty much officially sponsored by Wizards of the Coast at this point.
Yeah. Well, no, and again, I wasn't saying that, like, you know, I don't think that they should be rushing things out that aren't finished, and I think they should definitely keep, you know, if it takes delaying it to make it right, then sure, delay it. You know, I'd rather have a good completed game. I just think it's indicative of what's going to come. You know, like, there could be a lot of, and to your point, it's a great market for indies, but there could be a lot of big fish left out of the sea this year.
Yeah, but I mean, the two games that I'm most excited for are Outriders, which comes out in like 2 weeks, and then it's free on Game Pass, which is awesome. And then you got Kenya, which or Kenna, is that
Kenna,
what it is?
Kenya,
Bridges. Yeah, that comes out next week. So you know, I'm all for that. You know, I got Bravely Default, which is going to last me for a while. And then I think Mario Golf comes out in June. So, I mean, there still are games that are going to get me through this year.
Oh, sure.
It's just not going to be, you know, those top tier games.
And like Pokemon Snap still come in, you know, like all that type of stuff. It's just I guess seeing another stone fall here makes me hope it's not an avalanche, you know. And it's one of those, it's one game, I understand, it could just be one game, could just be something, but when they're delaying a Gotham Knights game to 2022 when they already have another Batman game, the Suicide Squad game, in 2022, you're telling me that they're really going to release both those games in the same year? I don't know if that's a smart move. You know, like, does Suicide Squad get pushed back now to 2023?
No, you got to strike while the iron's hot with that one, especially if it's Dookie Bomb. So, you know, if it is a bad one, maybe you do put out that second one and try to, you know, win back your audience.
Yeah, or just try to get it out, you know, just to recoup something. But yeah, I forgot to add it to the outline, but I thought Outriders coming to Game Pass was a pretty big deal. I can't remember another big third party title coming day and date to Game Pass like that. You know, like, it's not a Microsoft exclusive. That's not a first party thing. That's a full price, you know, $70 game if you're going to go buy the PS5 version that's coming day and date to Game Pass. And that seems like it could be a big thing.
It scares me, to be honest, with that game. Like, even before the game's out, it's coming to Game Pass. Like, that's usually not something you hear from a third-party developer going into that ecosystem that fast. Usually they want to get some type of money first. And then they'll draw, if it doesn't do as well as they hoped, then it goes into Game Pass. So I'm worried. Like, personally, I'm worried. And I did buy it on Steam, so I went back to them and was like, the game hasn't come out yet. Can I get my money back, please? So, you know, we'll see. You know, we'll see if my worries were, if I was just hypersensitive because I've been burned this way before. So, yeah, it's interesting.
I kind of don't want to play that intro again.
Well, you won't if your save carries over.
No, but I have my save on the PS5. So it's like, and I'm not going to buy it on the PS5 if I can get it for free on the Xbox. But it's like, I just have that sickening thought of like, fuck, I got to play that whole intro again. God damn it.
Well, just skip through everything.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But... But maybe I'll pick a new class now, because the one I picked kind of sucked. I don't really remember its name, but so maybe I'll try.
Fire guy, though, right?
Yeah, Pyromancer, or is that Dark Souls? I don't remember, but you know. Maybe I'll try someone else. Something I thought was interesting that I had never heard of the Strong National Museum of Play before, and they announced the 2021 finalists for the World Video Game Hall of Fame. Again, something I wasn't aware of. But the titles that they've called as nominees, and I guess like a normal Hall of Fame, it's like you have the nominees and then four of the games get in as Hall of Fame members, but they are Guitar Hero, StarCraft, Tron, EA Sports Soccer, which becomes FIFA, Portal, Animal Crossing, and this one is like the GameCube Animal Crossing, so I don't think it's a series, I think it's that like first game, Call of Duty, the PC Call of Duty, fucking Farmville, Microsoft Flight Simulator, and Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego?
Okay.
Now that's a pretty strong list as far as like all-time Hall of Fame goes.
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised that like Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego didn't go on the list earlier. Like it wasn't a nominee.
How is it not in, right?
Yeah. How are you going to learn like world geography if you haven't played Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego?
I would argue there is a large segment of our society, mainly people between the ages of 45 and 35, that learned geography from playing Apple IIe in their libraries. Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego? You know, and mm-hmm. its ilk, where time is Carmen Sandiego, all that good stuff.
Yeah, you wanted to see those footsteps, or you wanted to see the plane leaving, like when you mm-hmm. got your, you know, information right, you're just like, yes.
Like, I'm right on her tail.
Yes. I don't know. I think Portal should go in there. What were the other ones that were on that list? I definitely think it's Portal.
Yeah, so it's
StarCraft. StarCraft should be in there for sure.
Yeah, I would put StarCraft in there. I'd probably put Microsoft Flight Simulator in there. Like it's not my kind of game, but it's a big thing. And
Are we talking like OG Flight Simulator, or are we talking about the one like today where like you can actually learn to fly a plane through the Flight Simulator?
I'm not sure if these are talking about, and like I'm looking at the main site and it still isn't clear if this is like the franchise or these specific games, you know, because in this case, all of these, they picked like the first iteration. It's like the GameCube Animal Crossing, the PlayStation 2 Guitar Hero, you know, the original PC StarCraft, the original PC Portal. And so, but I'm not sure if like, okay, if it's Portal, but is it also Portal 2? You know, does that StarCraft include the expansions in, you know, StarCraft 2? Microsoft Simulator, does that include the current day one? Like, I don't know, because...
And why would you put Guitar Hero on there when Rock Band did a better job, in my opinion, in that?
I guess because Guitar Hero did it first, you know?
But Rock Band did it better.
Yeah. I
mean, do you get an award for just being first in the industry, even though like it wasn't super solid? I mean, I don't know.
I'm not sure. Is there any games that you would add to it? Like, what's like easily Hall of Fame game in your mind?
Well, I mean, that's the thing is like, what, I mean, are we just choosing any game willy nilly from like present till like Atari or Commodore like level?
Okay, so let's do that because I can't, by the way, if you're listening, Strong National Museum of Play, your website's awful because I cannot find a just comprehensive list of what's already, which seems like a really bad thing. Like, how could I not get it? But hey, guess what? We're going to induct four of these games and you'll never be able to figure out which ones. Fuck you guys. Like, I don't, this is awful. But anyway, these all seem to be from like at the latest 2003. So let's go. Is there a game from the last 10 years that you would put in the Hall of Fame?
From the last 10 years, I would say Horizon Zero Dawn is going to be in there for sure.
I don't know if I do that. I love that game, but I don't know. Okay, hey, I found the list. You want another list?
Sure.
So this starts in 2015. And the original initial inductees were Doom, Pac-Man, Pong, Super Mario Brothers, Tetris, and World of Warcraft.
Makes sense.
I don't really have a problem with any of those.
I mean, I would boot World of Warcraft just because I would want something that was more like OG like level, like
online or something. Or
I would go back before online. Like, I would just go way back. Like, find.
Well,
something.
I mean, that was obviously like trying to appeal to the more modern crowd. Okay, so 2016, you've got Grand Theft Auto 3, Sonic the Hedgehog, Space Invaders, The Legend of Zelda, Oregon Trail, and The Sims. Again, no real issues.
Yeah, it all makes sense. Again, it all kind of makes sense.
2017, only four in 2017. Donkey Kong, Halo Combat Evolved, Street Fighter 2. Now, here's the interesting one. Pokemon Red and Green. I don't know if that would be the Pokemon I would put.
But it's like, you have to understand. So what I'm getting at, though, is for like a lot of these, you're right. It's the first like Grand Theft. Like,
yeah,
I don't think Grand Theft Auto 3 is the best Grand Theft Auto.
No, that's
but
true.
It's the first 3D one. It's the first. It's the one that set off like the Grand Theft Auto series, because
like
basically.
San Andreas is way better of a game.
Yeah,
but
or yeah. Halo, like Halo One. I don't think, you know, most people wouldn't say Halo One's the best of the entire Halo series, but that's what's on the list or whatever. So
that's Halo Three, if you're wondering. It's Halo 3.
But it's like, since Red and Green were technically the first, it's like, if that's what we're going off of, is it being the first in the series, then that makes sense.
All right, and so then 2018, we've got Final Fantasy VII. This hall is bullshit. John Madden Football, Space War with an exclamation point. I do not know what that is.
I don't know. And
Tomb Raider.
I don't know.
Okay, 2019, you ready for this, Shannon? Because they're starting to lose the thread a little bit.
Okay.
Colossal Cave Adventure, Mortal Kombat, Super Mario Kart, I'm glad you're sitting down for the next one, Microsoft Solitaire.
Oh my god, dude. Yeah, you're fired. Like, whoever is making this list, stop it.
And by the way, Free Cell was the game if you were going to play a game on Microsoft.
Yeah, but yeah, Free Cell is the shit. Or Taipei. Like, if you ever, if you didn't play either of those games, like, you were playing the wrong games, bud.
Dude, when you finish a game of Free Cell and all the cards just start like waterfalling out, it's the best feeling in the world. So
yeah, I mean, you could even do that with Hearts, but like, you know, you're always getting screwed by like Bob or somebody like that over at, like, stupid PC like NPCs.
Fucking Bob.
Fucking Bob.
All right. All that,
I was just gonna say, all that tells me is that Minesweeper should be coming up here in the next couple of years.
Well, 2020 doesn't have Minesweeper, but it does have Minecraft and King's Quest, Centipede. And again, what the hell are they doing? Bejeweled. And it's one of those, I'm taking that back. Now that I think about it from a second, like, Bejeweled created an entire, like, mobile game industry.
Exactly. I'm like, yeah, Bejeweled was, like, huge. Yeah. Like, that was, like, before everyone's mom played Candy Crush, everyone's mom was, like, on, like, bestfreegames.com, whatever, playing Bejeweled 2 mm-hmm. and shit. Like,
and my Candy Crush doesn't exist without Bejeweled. Mm-hmm. So.
Exactly. It was like, I was in college and all I did was play fucking Bejeweled 3 all the time.
I'm surprised they haven't put Angry Birds on the list yet.
Like, that is very true. That is like the number one mobile game, like pretty much ever. So
I mean, they did put Farmville on there though. Farmville's in that Angry Birds time era, you know?
They did, but like Farmville fell off hard. Like if you look at the Apple place, like the Apple like App Store, like mm-hmm. Angry Birds is still in like the top 50, I would say. Like if that's it's crazy. Not Yeah, it's ridiculous. But yeah, it's just still out there making money.
I was like, until Farmville gets its own animated movie, it doesn't deserve to be on the list.
All right, so Justin, what's a recent game that would be a Hall of Fame game for you?
Since we're going with like the first of stuff, I would say BioShock.
All right, yeah, I'd put that in there. It's hard for me to say this because I don't really love the game as much as a lot of people, but I love like everything around it, like the lore and everything, but I'd probably throw Bloodborne out as a nominee.
Yeah, if you're gonna throw, but if you're following their list, you would have to go with like a Dark Souls.
Oh, so not necessarily, because Bloodborne's the first in that series. Yeah. It's not necessarily connected to the Souls verse.
Because see, I would have said Dark Souls 2, but I almost think like looking at the list, I almost think Dark Souls is like too niche. Like, of a niche, whatever,
though,
like...
Though, you know, kind of like Bejeweled, it created a whole industry. You know, like, there's so many games.
Everything is the Dark Souls of something now.
Or Souls-like, you know? Yeah. So in that regard, should, like, Rogue be on there? Since everything's a roguelike, you know? Or,
what was it, PUBG? Because everything's a Metroidvania?
Yeah. PUBG? Could we get PUBG in there? Because they started the Battle Royale craze.
Yeah. But I mean, it just sucks. They're going to get completely overlooked for Fortnite.
they already are overlooked. Yeah. It's like, I know people are still out there playing PUBG, but I feel kind of bad for those guys. Because, like, Fortnite just ate their lunch. You know? Like, and from people I know that play both, like, PUBG's a better game. But no one cares because, hey, I got Kratos dancing over here in Fortnite. So
yeah, when I get shot, I could just throw up a brick wall between you and me, and I'm okay. Not like in PUBG where, like, if you got me dead to rights, I'm screwed.
It still blows me away that started out as, like, a Minecraft survival-type game. Mm-hmm. And then they were like, oh, people are playing PUBG? We can do that really quick. And did it, and it was like, yeah, so what about that other game? I don't know what game you're talking about. Fortnite? What? With Fortnite's a shooter. That's weird. Why would you ever think we were making anything else? Yeah. It's pretty funny.
Oh, yeah.
So, hey, did any of you watch the Snyder Cut?
No, I didn't. No. Why?
What about, I know what about, Robbie did. He wouldn't shut up about it on Twitter. He loves it so much.
That was a fun Friday night. Me and Robbie and Robbie's friend Matt on Twitter just like basically being like, Robbie's being like, it's great. And we're like, of course you think it's great. I understand.
That movie's already taken 3 hours of my life. Why would I want to go back in and watch another hour of it and then lose 7 hours of my life to this stupid movie?
Because it might be slightly better.
For slightly better, I am not going to watch it again.
That's what in my group chat, my friends and stuff, my two friends who are hardcore DC fanboys, Troy and Tanner, I think Tanner said he called it it's the DC Lord of the Rings. I was like, yeah. Mm-hmm. I guess. I was like, you're not necessarily selling me on wanting to sit through 4 hours of Justice League, though.
It's like turning all of my DC fanboy friends into, like, Jehovah's Witnesses. They're like, have you seen the latest Snyder Cut? Do you want to know more about it? No, I don't.
Have you heard the good word? But, you know, to be fair, I don't really. I think that's the thing is, as I've hit my point with the DC movies is where I've hit with Star Wars. I just don't care anymore. Like it, and I'm not meaning that in like I'm too cool for school. I'm being like totally pedantic about it. I honestly just, if you like them, that's awesome. I'm super happy for you. If you don't like them, that's a bummer. I'm sad for you. I don't care. Like, I just, I'm not going to go, I don't want to spend my time watching it. Like, I just, you know, and I'm sad that I feel that way about, like, some awesome comic characters and, like, a Star Wars universe that I really enjoyed at one point in my life. But, like, I'm just there now. Like, I don't give a shit. Like,
yeah, it just goes to show that, like, they should have initially stuck with Zack Snyder doing the movie instead of bailing on him halfway through and having somebody else come in and finish it out.
Yeah.
You know, so you learn. Yeah, you missed out. Sorry, I'm not going to go back there.
Well, I saw an interesting article. I'm not sure if you guys saw it by Marcus Stewart from Game Informer. And he was talking about Snyder Cut coming out and if basically the same thing, like fan bases screaming at developers could be applied to the gaming world and bringing back, you know, re-releasing games with how they were originally meant to be before they came out. And it's like, and it was like a fun trip down memory lane because I had forgotten. So one of the games he put on the list was Bioshock 2. And yeah, I really enjoyed Bioshock 2. It was cool. But the original pitch of Bioshock 2 was the big sister was supposed to be like a nemesis Mr. X kind of character. There weren't supposed to be multiple big sisters. There was just supposed to be one big sister. And she was supposed to be one of the little sisters that you save from Bioshock 1. And she basically goes back to Rapture and establishes like a new cult order where she's the leader now. And that just sounds way better to me. Just to have like that big bad, but also is a action-based big bad that you interact with the entire game. And you're also trying to like help her like you did in the past. You know, like there's that whole aspect of it where I'm kind of just bummed that we didn't get that. And so I would play a proper Snyder Cut of that, you know?
Yeah, give me the Halo 4, I think it was Halo 4, where like you had Master Chief and you had the dude that was like hunting Master Chief down. Give me that story where like you have it fleshed out a lot more so you actually see there be some type of you know,
point
between them, you know like hint, like Master Chief bending the laws and this other dude being so rigid, like why, like flesh that out, like you were trying to make it on the commercial, like you're trying to sell everybody on this story point and it never came to fruition in the game.
I had forgotten totally about how they sold that as like Spartan versus Spartan for the first time, and it's like pick a side and all that stuff, and then it's just like, oh yeah, that, remember the game that we don't do that. That's, don't worry about that. That none of that is. Anyway, shiny keys, guys, over here.
Yeah. Justin, do you have one?
I was going down. So the games, the five games on the list are Bioshock 2. You got Devil May Cry, Resident Evil 4, Portal, which I don't even know, that game's amazing. I don't even know why that's on there. And Metal Gear Solid 5. I was like, I thought, even though they don't really mention, for Devil May Cry, they say because it was like a prototype of Resident Evil 4, like originally, but the story for like Devil May Cry, especially like the, not so much, they kind of get better by like, I think 4 and stuff, but the original story for 1, 2, and 3 is very convoluted and fucked up, so if they could like kind of retcon the story and kind of make it more digestible, or even Kingdom Hearts for that matter, they could totally reboot Kingdom Hearts with like a story that actually makes fucking sense, where you don't need to go on like a 80 page fucking wiki to try and figure out who's Heartless did what in the Keyblade War, and who who this is the one guy, but now he's like six guys across like space and time.
Yeah, I swear to God, if I got to go into Kingdom Hearts like 72, the Requiem between space and time of the infinite sorrow, sadness, reborn, XT3, whatever. Like, yeah, don't make me
over two.
Yeah. Yeah. Over two. And this game takes place somewhere between one and then the two HD remix. And you can only play it on a fucking Bank of America ATM between the hours of Monday through Friday, between 7 a.m. and 3:30 p.m.
I'm suddenly now more intrigued if I have to go to the
ATM. That was like a huge line, and they're like, what's going on? Like, dude, he's about to fight fucking Sephiroth. And they're like, oh, shit, like. He puts in his PIN number, spits out money, and he beat the game.
Sword comes out and hits you in the jimmy.
Shreds your card when you die.
Your bank heist Kingdom Hearts has hit Shannon in the right spot. He's on fire right now.
Oh god, that was awesome.
But no, I definitely agree. That's a game that could need a proper director's cut for sure. I thought the Resident Evil 4 one was a cool pullback too, because like again, that was a game that was an entirely different game. And then, you know, originally was supposed to be a little of like a two world thing going on where you would exist in the real world, but then also like in like an Elseworlds type thing, and there'd be enemies that would go back and forth, and you could watch a whole initial run through of like the demo they had built up for what RE4 was supposed to be. And then apparently they decided that version was way too expensive to make, so they made what they made, which is what we all know as RE4, but they kept like a bunch of the stuff from the game, like the look of Leon and the camera and all that stuff, and made that their new game. But like I think that game could be made now. Like you could total, you know, the asset creation and everything doesn't seem to be as intensive as far as like creating multiple worlds and all that stuff, where, you know, when RE4 came out damn near 20 years ago, that was groundbreaking tech, you know, at the time. So I'd be down to play that,
especially when you think about the fact that RE4 was originally a GameCube exclusive,
and yeah, that's GameCube a great point.
Was not that powerful, like compared to like the PS2 and the Xbox and stuff at that point. So,
I thought that was a cool idea of like, oh yeah, what games need like a polished director's cut? You know, like, so it made me think a little bit. But oh, and the Portal 2 thing, Justin, was because they had created a ton of different, basically like demos of what Portal 2 could be, and a couple of them got out and made its way into the world that you could watch, and apparently they're like awesome. There was one whole one based around taking like Polaroid pictures to create things out in the real world with them to solve puzzles with. And it was like really clever, really cool stuff, but they ended up just going back to the portals. So, but yeah, it would be cool to like, how much, again, sorry for the tangent, how much random shit does Valve just have that rules? Like, it's just like, they have something like, how many great games do they just have sitting around as like half finished ideas that, you know, other teams, other houses would just kill for? And they're like, oh, yeah, this amazing puzzle game, we developed it like 15 years ago. We're never going to fucking do anything with it. It's just sitting over there on a shelf. Like, what? Like, just make it. Like, just put it out. I'm sure it's great. Like, you know. Oh, kills me.
Gabe has it on a Dropbox somewhere on his desktop.
Yeah.
You can't think about it because then it'll just drive you insane because you're like, I want to play that game. And then it's never going to come out. So you just got to.
It's sitting next to four different finished versions of Half-Life 3 and like Left 4 Dead 3, you know, just sitting there. By the way, I would play Portal 3 before any of those. Give me Portal 3. God damn it.
Yeah.
You know, Portal 2. Portal 2 is a Hall of Fame game. Mm-hmm. I would put Portal 2 in before Portal. if we're dissecting those two. But Justin, why don't you tell me a little bit about this Xbox Indie Game Showcase? Yeah, and where can we where can we see Negative Space in the sizzle reel?
It was announced the other day that Xbox is going to be doing a Indie Game Showcase on March 26th, and they're going to be showing apparently some latest from a Drinkbox, who is most known for the Guacamelee games, and some Devolver Digital. And it looks like we're going to also probably be getting some stuff from, there was like a little list here. It was like Team 17, Humble Bundle.
Devolver Digital, you say?
Yes.
That's my jam these days.
Exactly. I'm assuming, because, Devolver showed some like sneak peeks of stuff that was, I don't remember what direct, I think it was like another indie game director, it might have been like some stuff during like the Nintendo, one of the indie Nintendo directs. They showed some clips of like some Devolver stuff that's coming up. Like one was that gambling one. I hope we see more about that because that looks really cool, where you have like cheat and gambling. Yeah. So I was like, great. I want that to come out. I was like, I will pay $20 for that game. I would like to hear more maybe about like the Braid remake and stuff remaster that's coming out and stuff. So it looks like, that's going to be Friday, March 26th, 9 a.m. Pacific time. And I'm assuming they're going to probably be streaming on Twitch or something like that.
Well, I'm excited to see what they say, because like Shannon said earlier, I'm guessing that's where we're going to see a lot of our big hits this year, is little games from smaller teams. And not necessarily little in like scope or size, but little in like production value.
Yes, not AAA games, but nice little indie titles.
Exactly. So hopefully we get some good news on the 26th. Well, is it time, gentlemen, for a little weekly consultation?
Yes.
All right. Well, last week, if you listened last week, Justin talked about a little game called Loop Hero that sold me as he was talking, and I bought during the show because I was just like, yep, that's my type of game. I'm in. And so I started it this week, and I have to say about 15, 20 minutes into the game, I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, this is the weirdest thing, and I wasn't really getting it. I was just like, like Justin said last week, it's a very, light graphics it's very reminiscent if you played like Dungeons and Dragons on a PC on like a 386, sometime in the mid 90s. Like, that's kind of the look of it, and they're very much going for it, and like the way the font is and like the menus look and the way the battles play out and things of that nature, it is very much like mid 90s PC gaming. So in that regards, it was like very nostalgic for me, but it's also really basic, so I'm like, okay, this is interesting. And you're on a loop and you go around and you're, and for a second I'm like, is this like some weird idle game? Cause like, I can't control him. The battles happen by themselves. And next thing you know, you're getting cards that are popping up on the bottom of the screen and also on the menu on, there's a menu on your right and on the bottom, and your items pop, the card items pop up on the right, and then land items pop up on the bottom. And it's like, okay, well, I guess I'll put this sword on this guy and the shield, and okay, those raise those stats. And it's like, I'll just throw a mountain over here, and okay, this grove can only get played on the thing. Oh wait, that made monsters. Oh wait, is that bad? I don't know. Like, okay, I've got monsters now where I've set this, and it's like, Vampire House seems like a thing I shouldn't play, but I'm just gonna do it to see what happens. Oh, I've got vampires now. Okay, great. But again, you can't control your battling. You just run the loop and monsters pop out on the loop and you fight them, and everything spits out more cards that are adjusting as you go. And it's like, all of a sudden though, you do little things start to happen. And for me, one of those things was like, I'm just throwing all the mountains over in a corner, because I don't know what the hell they do. They don't seem to affect the game at all. Like, until I realize, like, okay, my hit points are going up every time I drop a mountain on the board. So more mountains is good, but placement doesn't seem to matter. So I'm just throwing them all in the corner of this map. And I created a 3x3 square of rocks and mountains, not really being aware that that was a thing. And next thing, I had a harpy mountain, and I'm getting 120 more HP for it. And it was like this light bulb moment of like, oh, all this stuff does stuff. Wait, like, I need to start playing with this to see what does stuff. And it's like, oh, these meadows all become blooming meadows, but not when you play them next to meadows, only when you play them next to other things that aren't meadows. But now I get 3 HP boost every day instead of 2, and they stack, and okay, this is cool, so I'm going to keep doing this. And next thing you, and you keep running your loop, and you know, your weapons are scaling, your armor scaling, all this stuff is happening. So you keep getting better, but you keep gathering cards. And these cards you keep having to put on your map to get new cards to see what else is happening. And everything you're playing, essentially, except for the land cards that aren't being played on the loop, everything you're playing adds more monsters to fight, which you figure out is a good thing, because that's how you get the stuff. You need to kill stuff to get stuff. So, but it's essentially closing your loop for you, even though the loop isn't changing. It's just a metaphor here. Follow me, people. But it's closing your loop, because now you're fighting like every other square by the time you're on your like fifth loop, just for the amount of cards you have. And it is, that's where the tension suddenly gets. Like, you're cruising, you're dropping stuff, you're getting weapons, you're scaling up, you're like, oh yeah, some health regen is cool, and like, oh, this guy's got, you know, vampirism protection, and oh, these guys do splash damage, or this weapon does splash damage, I'll throw that on there. And you're just cruising, you're not worried about it at all. And next thing you know, your board is like really crowded, and so you're sitting there going through your campfire, which is the beginning part of your loop, going, I don't know if I'm going to make it back around. And that becomes bad, because if you don't make it back, you lose everything you're gathering. And you don't take your weapons back with you, or armor, or any of that stuff. But what you do take back with you is, you know, wood and steel and food and, you know, all these different resource categories that you're collecting passively the entire time, because there's a base you're trying to build back out between runs. And so, and every time you build a base, it unlocks more cards, or build a building in the base, you get more cards, you get more resources, you get more avenues to do things. You can eventually pick classes if you do that. Oh, and a little thing that I had to figure out on my own, the more cards you drop on the map, the closer the boss comes to showing up. So all of a sudden I'm playing, like, I'm just dropping a mountain to, you know, on the board. And next thing I know, the fucking Lich King is like hanging out at my campfire. And I'm like, wait, what? Why is the boss here? I don't know what's going on. And because I was an idiot and was just throwing down everything around my campfire, I had to fight the Lich and like vampires and spiders at all at the same time. And I'm like, oh, that was bad. That was a bad choice.
Life lesson learned.
So yeah, that run didn't end well. Let's just put it that way. But it becomes a really interesting strategy game of, okay, is this one just going to be a resource run? And the thing is, and Justin, maybe you can speak to this too, you know, by like the third time around, you're like, okay, my weapons suck, I'm not getting any good drops, I'm just going to grind this as long as I can until I can gather resources to take back and then start over. And it's fun in that regard, where it's like all of a sudden you're like, oh, wait, I'm getting crazy weapons and I'm getting stat buffs left and right with these weapons, and I'm getting these drops in cards. I'm making a boss run. We're going to do this. We can take the boss this time. You know, like it's one of those type of things where the luck of the draw really matters to how the game plays out. And it's funny because it's literally just numbers going up and super basic graphics and like the most simple fighting interface you've ever seen in your life. And it's insanely addictive. Like just one more loop. I can make it to the end of this loop is intoxicating in this game. And it's crazy. Cause like I was talking to Justin before the show, I can't think of another game like this. And, you know, in the year of our Lord 2021, that is a rare thing to say. You know, I like all of you have played a lot of goddamn video games, and to sit there and go like, I really can't come up with a game that plays like this is incredibly rare. And it's cool for that reason. I mean, it's really unique. Justin, anything you want to add to what I was talking about?
I wanted to ask, so have you beaten the Lich?
No, I have not.
Okay, so I've beaten the Lich, and I'm trying to go for the second boss now, which the Lich I got to, I think, two, maybe three times before I finally beat him.
I fought him three times, and the last time I got close, but the first few times, man, I just got just beat the shit out of me. It was ridiculous.
Yeah. So far for the second boss, I think I've done like maybe 10 runs so far to get to the second boss, and I have not even come close to getting to the second. I haven't gotten a run that's good enough to even get me to summoning the second boss yet.
Oh, wow.
But one of the things I learned after experimenting and doing some internet research. So have you unlocked the Blood Groves yet? Yes. Where it's like you have the four. So fun fact, Blood Groves, and if you remove the forest or whatever from the Blood Grove, it creates the Hungry Grove, which is the where it can attack you sometimes, but instead of 20%, it goes up to 30% or whatever.
Okay.
Enemy gets to 30%, it'll swallow the whole. Those were if you put those around your campfire, that is what you want next to your campfire, because when the if you get him, I got him down to 30%.
Oh, and they'll just eat him?
Yes.
Oh.
The thing is, I realized real quick, I was like everything works that works on enemies also works on the bosses. So Hungry Groves, Blood Groves also work on the boss.
All right.
And like slowing down. So I was like, I did not think that would work. And then when I like read that there was someone was like, yeah, Blood Groves work on the boss. And I was like, so immediately, like as soon as you get forest, two forest on either side. Because the other thing I read too is because so I figured out was when the Lich comes, you know, there's the Lich actual, like he takes over your campfire. And then there's the two other buildings, which are like his castle things that give him more health and power. And yeah. If you have the obliterate card, whatever, by that point, which is, I kept trying to hold on to them to get rid of it. And like, yeah. Sometimes I had like one and I got rid of one of his two castles. But if you put enough shit, apparently, around your character, those can't summon anywhere. If you fill up all the space in which those could residence, they won't be able to spawn anywhere. So then,
okay.
I didn't actually fill up enough. I ever got it to not spawn, but the one that I finally him or whatever was because I was able to one of the castles with the rogue, and I got my evasiveness up to about 70%. So like almost nothing was hitting me. So even though my damage wasn't crazy, like basically touch me. And then I just had to whittle him down, and I got him to 30%, and then a Blood Grove took him.
Nice. Nice.
And that's the thing with I've heard with the second boss that the Necromancer class or whatever is the easier class to beat the second boss, but I haven't unlocked Necromancer yet because I'm still missing. I just got the Graveyard, and then once you unlock the Graveyard, the next resource thing in the tree that you can build off of is the one that unlocks Necromancer, so I still need some resources to unlock them.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's incredibly addictive. It's just incredibly unique and really good. Like, the thing, is it's just rock solid. Like, Shannon, you would actually like this game. I know you don't think so.
But that's the thing, is because it does a lot of the fight and stuff. Like, it's not a lot, like, tasking you on your part. And the fact that you can stop it at any point, like, even in the, while you're fighting monsters with the mouse, if you hover over, like, little thing, whatever, you can actually pause the fight, and, like, when you're moving menu items, like, mid-fight, you can equip and unequip shit and stuff, like, which comes in handy. And the soundtrack's a banger. Yeah. It's probably one of the best video game soundtracks I've heard in a minute.
I will say that. It is like chiptune-y, but it slaps. That soundtrack is really good. So, I'm just saying, Shannon, it's $15. you should try it.
I'll try it. I'll think about it.
All right. Shannon's face did not. That was not a convincing. I'm gonna try it. He will never get that game.
Well, enough about our, bullshit little loop hero game. Shannon, you had a PS5 that you got in your hot little hands. What did you play on it?
So I started with Astrobot's Playroom, which is a great game, like, for what it is.
Fantastic. Like, that game is so good.
That GPU level, the theme song on it, like, I want to download that song. I want it on my playlist so bad. And the fact that you can find the lyrics to the song, like, in the level, is pretty dope too. So, like, you could sit there and you'd be like, oh, what is he saying? And then, like, you're like, oh, I get it. And then, like, you could see the little chip guy in the corner, like, singing the song when, like, you're up parts of the stage. Like, just the level of detail into a game that's just, like, a proof of concept. The haptic L and R buttons are the first time I did it, I thought I broke them. You know, like, because it's like tough, 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 and then it's like snap, and you're just like, oh boy, like, did I just break my controller? Like, what happened? Like, the way the controller feels, the fact that there's a microphone in there, and like when you blow on the remote, like, you can turn the fans, like, on some of the levels, like, it's ridiculous. Like, I mean, they did a lot just to show, like, what this controller can do, and I hope some developers, like, actually jump on and take advantage of it other than just using the touchpad. So I played that for a little bit, and then while Miles Morales was downloading, I decided to also get Sackboy, A Great Adventure, I think is what it's called. Honestly, it sounds like a porno waiting to happen, but the game itself, my girlfriend was watching me play because she wanted to see what all the fuss was about, and she was like, I want to play this game. Like, I want to get on this game. I want to play it. I was like, cool. Like, gave her the other controller and, you know, gave her a profile, and she started playing with me. That game is so much fun. Like, you could pick up the, like, you know how back in the day, like, you could pick up, like, when you're playing Mario and Luigi, you could pick up, like, Luigi and you could chuck him. And, like, you know, that was, like, your friend, and you're just like, whatever, I'm going to throw you off this cliff here because I'm mad at you for doing something stupid. Or you could, like, slap each other. Like, that's basically what this game is. It's like, you could slap each other, like, pick each other up, throw each other, and I don't see how they could do this with one player. Like, so either they got to give you, like, an NPC that follows you around and you order them to do things, or they basically redesign the levels for, you know, one or depending on if one or two people are playing. It seemed like there was a lot of teamwork involved as far as, you know, picking up the other person and throwing them, or, you know, trying to help them get up to a higher spot so that they can get the secret tchotchkes. And it's all about dress up. Like, once you finish each level, it's basically like go back to the costume shop and see what new outfits you got, what new hats you got, like how you can make your guy more unique. And that's pretty cool. The story in the game seems pretty, you know, straightforward. Some guy comes in, wants to take the creativity out of the world, and you know, he's got a master plan, and your whole village gets kidnapped, and basically you're there to save it. And that's, you know, go. go do it. And then there's like this storyteller that's basically kind of following you around and follows all the typical tropes of, you know, a platforming game. Like, oh, like the next time you come back to me, I'm going to tell you something revealing about your past that you didn't even know about. And like, you know, like they're upfront about it. So it's cute. The controls are like super, they're super, responsive. You do have to think about, how high you want to jump, where you want to jump, because, you can't just like mash on the buttons now that you have these like haptic responses. They want you to actually kind of feather your control to get through things a little faster. So that's kind of cool. It's the Little Big Planet game I wanted when Little Big Planet came out. There's no level creation or anything. You're basically just doing a 3D platformer, and it's awesome. Like, there's no camera issues. The only thing I don't like is it follows that trope of if you go too far out of the screen and the other player is still kind of lingering back because they want to like find all of the little tchotchkes or they want to explore a certain area, like it will just kill you. And then you will have to spawn at the next spawn point. Which is cool. Like if you die, you don't have to wait for the other person to die. If you make it to the next like coin on, there's like these little coins on the floor. If you make it to the next coin, you basically just respawn. And then like you're running around with your friend again. So, it's a fun game. I like it a lot. It's something that my girlfriend wants to play with me. So it's cool to have somebody to play with who wants to play a video game. She's learning the muscle memory for the first time, whereas I've been playing these games for, over 30 years. So it's like, with me, I'm just like, oh, you do this, you do that, you do this, you do that, you jump over here, you do this, you go over here. And she's like, how do you pull the block out of the wall? You're like, oh, okay. Let's take a couple steps back. I'll hold down the square button, walk backwards. We'll figure this out together. She could do like 3 or 4 levels at a time before she wants to take a break. Whereas I'm just like, let's zoom through this whole game like right now. it'll be fun. It'll be fun to play in small doses. And then I can go play Miles Morales and see what I think about that. But that was cool. My week in gaming. Justin, how about you? What'd you play this week?
So besides Loop Hero, which, I did spend a decent amount of time with, I think I'm like almost like 9 hours or so like into it. The other game that I picked up was Side Night and Happiness Freakocalypse, which it was a Kickstarter game a while back or whatever that they did, and it came out. I got it on Switch, and it's basically like a point and click kind of like adventure game, very story based and stuff. It's if you don't know Side Night Happiness, it's a web comic, but they also do like little shorts and cartoons and stuff like that. Very dark, kind of like vulgar sense of humor kind of stuff. Very funny stuff. The game so far from like what I played and stuff, it's good. I could tell that, it's definitely meant to be played with like a point and click. It's kind of annoying on the Switch, like having to select certain objects and stuff. You have to like point and click with it to interact and stuff like that. And like navigating through like the menu and stuff, it's a little like janky with the controller. Like you can totally tell that, it was definitely meant for PC first and then added like support and stuff for like controller for consoles and stuff like that. The humor in it's been really funny though, and I've been enjoying it for the most part. The main like complaint that I've heard about the game, which I honestly didn't even know until I like read some Steam reviews and stuff on it, is that I guess this is only part one and it's going to be in 3 parts. Which the game does not say part one, and at no point conveys that it's the only part one until, I guess, like, the end of the game. Which people who backed the Kickstarter kind of said that they felt that what ended up happening was the game, kind of the scope of the game kind of grew bigger than what they were anticipating or could do, and they, instead of delaying the game further and pissing off Kickstarter people, they basically turned it episodic and stuff, which I guess Kickstarter people are supposed to be getting the other two parts for free. I don't know if like people who buy this game are going to be getting like the next whatever for free too, if it's going to be separate games that you have to also like, you know, purchase for the $14.99 or whatever for the next installment. So I thought that was interesting, because I was like, I didn't even know that this was only going to be part one of something. But yeah, it's been fun so far. But I guess if it's going to be a multi-part thing, you might be better off waiting until all three parts are actually out, and then you could probably get it for like $30 or $40 or whatever once everything's actually done with it.
Now, do you like the type of game that it is? Does it feel slow? Is it is it funny? I mean,
it is really funny, and I mean, it takes advantage of like, you know, because point and click games, you know, you click on everything and inspect it or do whatever, and they kind of poke fun like at the genre and stuff. Like, you know, people are like, why the fuck are you touching everything? Like, quit touching everything. Like, quit looking at it. And they're like, sense of humor. Like, there's one part where there's this chick who is like a hall. You're at like a school and stuff. And there's this chick who's like a hall monitor, and her name's Holly. So she's the Holly monitor. And she like won't let you like anywhere, like in that you're like limited to this certain area of the hall, and you can't go any further until you get a hall pass. So there's these like greaser kids in the bathroom who are smoking, and they'll make you a fake hall pass, but you have to get like the ingredients to make like prison wine basically, because they want to get sloshed before like AP bio or whatever. So you have to go like rummage through the classrooms and collect this shit to bring it to these like greaser kids, and then they'll make you a fake hall pass so that you can like go. So it's like the humor, and there's this kid who sniffs markers, and that's like one of the side quests is like the good markers were removed from the school because apparently like in the past he got really fucked up on markers and like ruined like the homecoming parade or something. So there's a marker dealer that you have to go get the extra strength markers for him to like sniff and stuff.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, so if you like the Cyanide Happiness, like comics and humor, like I feel like if you don't enjoy Cyanide Happiness, then you probably won't like appreciate like the game as much, like, you know, but because a lot of like the value I feel of the game is for people who are fans of Cyanide and Happiness and like the dark sense of humor, like the comedy that they bring. And it's like, if you're not in it for that, it's more that than it is like the gameplay or like anything else in the game.
All right. Kind of sounds like when Penny Arcade did their point-and-click adventure.
Yeah, kind of like that. Or like, what's the other one? It's like Max and whatever, the rabbit and the dog.
Oh, yeah, Sam and Max?
Yeah, there we go.
Cool. Interesting. Well, I suppose we are at the end of the show. If you have not seen Falcon and Winter Soldier, episode 1, because we are going to get on the spoiler talk of that. So if you would like to duck out now, you have been warned, and thank you for listening. All those good things. But gentlemen, it is time. The new series has started. So let us talk some Falcon and Winter Soldier spoilers. What did you guys think? Episode 1.
I don't know.
That's a valid thing.
I kind of think that, like, you know, the Falcon comes out in the beginning. He's just like, yep, these are some pretty big shoes to fill. I don't think I'm capable of filling these shoes. So I'm just going to donate the shield to the museum, and I'm going to go about being my guy, like the guy I am, like the guy I was made to be. And then by the end of the episode, they're like, yep, well, you know, I know they're big shoes to fill, but we're going to get this doofus who doesn't have a jawline, who looks like his face got smashed into this helmet, like to be the next, you know, Captain America. So have fun with this. And I was just like, dude, what a slap in the face. Yeah. Like, basically, like, we didn't respect you at all. So I was just like, wow. But the intro, like the full, like, you know, maybe 5 or 10 minute like opening sequence was legit awesome. Like, that was super cool.
It was great to see Falcon actually kicking ass and mm-hmm. not just getting beat up, because like every movie Falcon was used for someone else to beat him up, mm-hmm. you know, like,
yeah, Ant-Man.
Yeah, totally. Like until he stabbed like something in the chest in Endgame with his wings, he was just like, you know, that dude that got his butt kicked by someone else, so you knew the other person was legit, you know?
Yeah, he was basically like on your left and Ant-Man kicking his ass are the two things that I basically remember him for.
Yeah,
it just kind of seems like they are trying to give you a story that's a little bit more of, you know, these guys are actually basically humans too, and they were basically running a charity that was sponsored by the government until like the snap happened, and now like all these other things are kind of changing.
So can we talk for a minute about the most unrealistic part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe? The most unrealistic thing, and I'm talking movies that involve multiverses, beings from space, infinity gems that turn people into gods. The most unrealistic part of the entire Marvel Cinematic Universe is that a fucking Avenger would go to a bank to get a loan. No, I am sorry. That would never happen. A, you can't get sponsors. You have no sponsorships. Fucking pitchers that have been retired for 15 years can get car dealer sponsorships. You're telling me the fucking Falcon can't get in front of a Dunkin' Donuts commercial? What are we doing here with our time? Also, no, I'm not going down to my local Chase branch. I've got Pepper Potts' fucking phone number. Hey, Pepper, can you scratch me a check for a boat? It's important to me and my family. Thanks. Like, that would be the end of the goddamn discussion. Like, I'm sorry. Also, you're at the Falcon. Maybe up your rates a little bit with the government. Guess what that mission you just did that kicked ass and took names all over the place to open this show? No one else could do that. So, hey, how about you buy me a boat, Uncle Sam, to do this? Like, it was just one of those, like, I'm sitting there the whole time, like, they're really making this guy go to a bank and, like, come up with a business plan? Like, no, that was so just... I still can't wrap my head around this. Like, money should be the thing that they don't worry about ever, because people are literally like emptying their pockets to throw money at them. You know, like I don't understand it.
Yeah. And then, you know, you got the Winter Soldier who's like hanging around with like this guy whose son he killed as a penance for what he's done.
Well, that I took that as him just trying to work up the initiative to like do it, you know, like it was.
He hasn't done it yet because the name on the list was not crossed off yet, so he hasn't made his amends for that one.
Yeah, like that was probably one of those like, I'm gonna find this guy, we're gonna talk, I'll eventually get to the point where I'm like, okay, here's what happened, and by the way, I'm the Winter Soldier. Sorry, later. And then found out he liked this dude and likes hanging out with him because they're almost the same age, you know, like, and he probably can relate to this guy on a lot of levels and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, I liked the Winter Soldier character building, though, because it's something they didn't tackle in the movies a lot. And to be fair, I liked this episode for a lot of that. Like, you know, we didn't get much character building around the Falcon at all. Like, it was just one of those. He was there. He was a good guy. Cap liked him. That was about the end of the list of what you knew about the Falcon.
Yeah, so he was a good pilot, and Captain America was like, I want you on my team. And then the next thing is he's wearing a Falcon suit flying around.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's one of those, like, I like seeing the background. I like that. You know, seeing the family, seeing all the stuff, and like kind of what makes him tick. Like, I like that. And conversely, I like them attempting to answer the question of like, so Bucky's like super broken and the war's over. What now? And it's like, yeah, his ass is in a psychiatrist's office and he's trying to work through a bunch of stuff that he's having a lot of problems with, understandably. And I kind of I like that step back. And that's why I thought it was a good first episode, because it kind of just like, it was a table setting episode of like, okay, this is where this person's at. This is where this person's at. We're going to give you some hints about, you know, Flag Smasher and other things. There are superpowered guys out there. Guess what? These guys are going to have to come together to take these guys out, but we'll get there when we get there. And I just thought it was a great, like, first opening salvo of like these guys. I don't like that it was, they're not together. Mm-hmm. Like, it was one of those, that kind of surprised me that they started with being like, here's the Falcon part, here's the Winter Soldier part, you know? And it's like, but the show's Falcon and Winter Soldier. I want them together. Like, let's, you know, because in the movies, they had a great back and forth chemistry, like friends that hate each other chemistry, you know, like, and I kind of want to get to that, because it led to a lot of like good comedic moments and comedic timing and things of that nature. So I got off tangent there, but that was kind of my thing with episode one. I dug that it was a good table setting, but that being said, we only have 5 episodes left. We can pick up the pace now, you know?
Yeah, and that's kind of what scared me, is like, you know, they did a lot of building, but there wasn't a lot of, like, building the crisis, I guess you could say. You know, you have this imposter like Captain America. You have, you know, two main characters that haven't even met yet. Like, there's a lot that has to be like kind of schlepped together. Like, I'm hoping these other episodes are a little bit longer so that they can, you know, have more time to flesh out like what's actually happening instead of rushing everything. But, you know, we'll see. Why did they keep talking like Steve Rogers was dead? Like, why? Like, I mean, he's not. Like, he's either up on the moon, which I think is weird because he didn't want this life at the end of like Avengers, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, he kind of wanted to just be away. So did he die, or is he still alive, or, you know, and just kind of in like witness protection? Like, what do you guys think? Do you think they're gonna keep that character alive, or what?
Well, as far as I know, according to, like, in the Marvel universe, according to them, both Tony and Steve died. They're, to the public, to the, like, Steve and Tony are both dead. And in time, and then, you know, to back the event, and then stayed in the past, then lived out normal life, whatever, while his past self stayed frozen and did whatever. But I think, like, after, you know, coming back, like, whatever, he's just like done. Like, he effectively led to the Marvel universe.
I did like that. You mentioned it, Shannon, the fake Captain America at the end of the episode. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing that's John Walker, first off. And then if you know comics, you know that is U.S. Agent. And he's one of my favorite characters because he was a wrestler. Well, he was a soldier that wanted to, like, super patriotic soldier that wanted to, you know, be a hero, like his family, who came from a long line of soldiers. And then basically flames out in the military, you know, doesn't become anything in the military, and becomes a wrestler who gets, like, mixed up with this crazy promoter who knows a guy that can give them all superpowers, and ends up doing it with his crew, basically, and becomes a superhero / wrestler called the Super Patriot, and then basically gets on TV and, like, takes out a guy who was trying to nuke DC and becomes famous for it. and then becomes a superhero full-time, known as the Super Patriot. And then right around that time, Captain America retires from being Captain America because he doesn't want to take orders from the government anymore. And the government was like, hey, Super Patriot, want to be Captain America? And he was like, okay. And, like, actually is – John Walker is Captain America for, like, a, you know, 2-year run in the comics. And then, you know, Captain America comes back and they make him now U.S. agent instead of Captain America. And he joins the West Coast Avengers and all that. But he's a great character because he's totally, like, not Captain America. Like, he's brash. He's very, very Tony Starkish. Like, he's like, I'm fucking awesome. Like, I'm a superhero. Like, you guys don't understand how cool I am. I'm the baddest MF-er in this room, like, at all times. Like, he absolutely isn't Captain America with just the stoicism and always trying to do what's right. And John Walker is very much like a, yeah, what's right for me here, guys? That's the important part, you know? And I'm really curious to see how they use his character in this world, because the U.S. agent ends up being a very heroic character, but he does not start out that way. And so I like, if you've watched The Boys, he's like the Captain America version of what would be if Captain America was a character from The Boys. You know, he's not you know, truth, justice in the American way to steal DC here. But yeah, so I'm excited for that. I think that would be very cool to roll in John Walker into this, because John Walker is a total shit heel, but he's like a good guy, but he's still a total bastard, and I'm excited to see it.
Hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, we'll see how it plays out. Like, I hope they really nail this with 5 episodes. It just feels like it's too short to get anything done.
That's where I'm at. It's like, that seems like a very short runway. As we get more airline things, metaphors into this, you know. I will say that opening dogfight though with the Falcon suit was badass. That was really cool.
It was, but if like the army guy knows that Falcon is coming to save him, why didn't he just jump out of the plane or the helicopter?
I thought about that too. Yeah. Problem and it was solved. What's his name? The Leaper from Winter Soldier. Captain America, Winter Soldier. That was the guy that was doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So they brought him back.
Yeah, I mean they're consistent. You know, they like to keep everything, you know, in that universe. So it's not going to surprise me to see people show up. But
well, Baron Nemo's supposed to be in this again. So he's supposed to come back.
So we're going to see him next episode, because, I mean, like, if you wait till the 3rd episode to put in, like, your big bad.
my guess is Nemo's going to be the guy behind the Flag Smashers and all that. That would be my guess. But we'll find out. This one doesn't seem as fun for, like, crazy theories.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it seems and which is kind of what I was saying at the end of WandaVision. I think this is going to be just more of a straightforward action story with some character development, but I'm here for it. I like it.
Yeah, I'm trying not to read anything about like the WandaVision, because like, you know, there are still things that are surfacing, like the director didn't know about the the guy who played Quicksilver, like being Quicksilver from like the from the X-Men movies. I was like, dude, you had a golden opportunity there and you just screwed the pooch.
Right.
You
wasted
know?
It.
But yeah. You want to talk about some other like shitty movie that I watched this week?
Sure.
I watched Monster Hunter this week.
Oh, was it bad? Was it real bad? Was it like Resident Evil 3 bad?
I'm not gonna spoil this for anybody. But Mila Jovovich. Okay. Wow.
What was that?
I just basically summoned like something from. Hey Alexa, stop.
This like some like.
It was playing Skillet. I don't know why. Like, I don't know what it heard that I was saying. But
we're gonna get copyright stricken because Shannon couldn't keep his shit together during the Monster Hunters.
So yeah. So it was So yeah, I think she's kind of full of herself because 20 minutes into the movie, her whole like team is dead. And it is just her, and it is just the like random dude that gets like marooned on a sand island that like he can't leave because there's like tremors like monsters that are in the sand that are gonna like kill you. But there were a couple times in that movie where I was like, okay, this movie's over now, right? Like it's done. And then it just keeps going. You're like, oh, okay, it's not done. And then like it gets to the end of the movie, and then right, it's not even done at the end of the movie. They're just like you find out that there's this portal that opens between our world and the Monster Hunter world, and it's unstable. And so they're fighting, one of the big like dragon type monsters from Monster Hunter, and it basically like pushes her character off a cliff. She falls through a portal, ends up on Earth. The dragon flies through the portal too. So now you got this dragon on Earth, and it just wrecks the U.S. military. Like, you know, for some reason, it's indestructible. Bullets don't mess it up. So it just basically runs roughshod over like the backup crew that comes in to help her. And then once surprise is the big hero and kills this thing, the portal opens up, and then the two other characters come through, and they're like, we have to get to the spire, we have to stop this. And she's like, they're not going to stop until we take out that spire. And the other two are like, yeah, that's right. And so they basically run back into another fight, and that's the end of the movie. And you're just like, wow, they're going to try to make this like a trilogy or something? Like, I don't know. Ron Perlman in a 80s like Scorpion big hair like band wig is all you need to see in that movie. But like, yeah, like, I mean, T.I. was in it. There were a couple other like people that have acted in smaller bit parts in the movie that you're like, okay, well, these guys are going to be in it for maybe like a half hour, 45 minutes. And then like halfway through, when like the first big battle happens, like they'll all get killed. Like, no, they all get like killed probably within the first 20 minutes of the movie. There's like no joke there. Like it's Mila Jovovich like solo acting with a green screen and some monsters until, you know, homeboy comes in to rescue her. Yeah, Steve, I followed your instructions and watched this movie, and I don't know, man. I'm glad I paid only $5 to watch this movie.
You let Shannon down, Steve. You let Shannon down.
Well, the fact that Steve likes bad movies should have been your first clue that this was going to suck, Shannon.
For those of you that don't know who we're talking about Twitter's own Mr. Alarm, Steve Wittekamp, who friend of the show, who is a lover of all things awful.
I'll tell you, though, like the first 20 minutes, it gets pretty dark and gruesome. Like I was like, wow, is this movie like rated R, or is this a PG-13 movie? Because like there are people that are getting bit in half, like, and gored and exploded, and things are hatching out of them. It's like, it's weird. And you're like, wow, this is like a survival horror like movie. This is cool. But yeah, then it just kind of de-evolves into like a bad video game adaptation movie. Yeah. And then, you know, my girlfriend, she sat down and watched enough of the horrible Resident Evil movies with me to be like, is she trying to turn this into another one of those franchises? And I was like, I think so. I really
think so. Yikes.
Yeah. It's, well, it's bad.
Thank you for the review, Shannon. I'm glad you watched it so I don't have to.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, I was like, speaking of watching stuff too, I watched the Pacific Rim Black anime.
Yeah, I watched the first episode of that.
Dude, I was like, that animation is rough. Like, it was really hard. Like, if it was any long, because it's only 7 episodes, if it was any longer, I probably wouldn't have gotten through it, because I fucking hated that 3D garbage anime. Like, it's so rigid, and that their mouths like barely move in their arms. I was like, dude, this is, I wish it was 2D.
I'm sitting there like, I watched the Pacific Rim. Oh, anime. Oh,
yeah. Okay. But it's the one on that. So I'd heard like really good things about it though, and that was the thing. That's what got me to watch. And I love Pacific Rim, and I was like, all right. And then when I watched the trailer for it, I was like, dude, I do not like the art style. I don't think I can watch this. And then I still heard good things about it, so I was like, all right, I'm willing to give it a shot. And I won't spoil too much of it since it sounds like Shannon's only one episode in, but like there's some really cool parts in it. Like they explain and like stuff from the actual movie verse comes into this, and they explain some shit like in the movies, like how the fact that like someone can like pilot, like since, you know, Jaegers take two people, and there's been times in the movie verse where only one person has piloted a Jaeger, which you wouldn't think is possible, and they explain how it's possible in the anime, so I'm like, cool. Like, they're actually giving, like, background history, like, on, like, previous, like, wars and stuff with kaiju, and, like, how Jaegers work, and, like, how, like, shit like that can happen, and I was like, that is really awesome. And then, but the animation style, and beats that I could have honestly just done without, that I felt like they spent way too much time on.
If we're gonna get into like a Pacific Rim, just a little kind of like talk, like why is it that like Gypsy Danger and is like the penultimate like Jaeger? Like I don't know. Like I think the one from Australia, I forget the name of that one from the Australian, the one that's with the Australian pilots, like. That one has missiles in its chest. It like it wrecks shop. Like when you see that thing open up and like send a salvo like into that kaiju, like there was no way that kaiju was gonna win. Gypsy Danger, like all it's got is that stupid little like pulsar cannon, and it's got a sword. Like seriously, like there are better Jaegers out there.
Dude, I thought the one that had three arms with three pilots was dope. I'm like, the fact that it requires three pilots to move it tells you how powerful it has to be, because it requires three people who can like simultaneously Neuralink in order to control all the moving components of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's dope. What do you think, Zach?
I think I'm never gonna watch it. So,
but you've watched the movies. We're not even talking about the anime.
Oh, sorry, I wasn't paying attention anymore.
Fuck.
No, the three arm one, what was that, China?
Yeah,
I'm kind of with you. The China one was pretty rad. Like,
even though you only see it for like a second,
I thought that was one of the biggest like injustices of the movie, is how they're like the second Jaeger out. You know, like yeah. It's like how is the coolest looking Jaeger here like the second one gone? It's like,
yeah, but at least they took out some kaijus though before they got offed, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. It was like the big one came up underneath them and took them out or something. It's been a while since I've seen Pacific Rim, but
yeah, I'm actually watching it right now with my girlfriend, and we haven't gotten to the last battle yet. We're halfway through the movie, because we can only watch it, and we can only usually watch our shows in like 1 hour to 2 hour chunks.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, once you finish the anime, Shannon, we'll have to have a more spoiler, just because I want to know what you think of the end of it.
Okay.
All right. Well, Justin, why don't you take this bird on in?
You know what, guys? Thank you, guys. Listen to another episode. You stuck around to listen to Falcon and the Winter Soldier spoilers. Thank you if you got off before this and you're not even listening to this. I'm still going to thank you. You know, you can listen to this on Spotify, on Apple, where you can leave us a review. If you feel so inclined, let us know what you think. Let us know what you think about the new intro that, you know, very boppin'. And, you know, you can talk about the new intro, too, if you'd like, on our Discord, where we have spoiler talks about Falcon and Winter Soldier, general game talks, and junk food that we can eat, but now he's too old to eat. And... you know, if you watched the, you know, Snyder Cut, I'm sorry. Zach, if Robbie were here right now, what do you think Robbie would say?
Robbie would say the Snyder Cut is amazing and everyone should watch it. Also, go be great.
You took my closing statement right out of my mouth.
Sorry.